Some of the most interesting moments in Jesus' ministry happen when he visits his friends, Mary and Martha, in Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem. It was Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus that Jesus called out of the tomb and into new life. And it was at a dinner at their house that just before Passover, Mary anointed Jesus' feet with a pound of costly perfume. By that time, Jesus' fame had spread because of the raising of Lazarus, and a crowd had gathered to see this miraculous healer. And of course, the next day, that same crowd would shout Hosanna as he entered Jerusalem and made his way to the temple. But the visit that we hear about today is only recorded in Luke's gospel. Martha welcomes Jesus and his disciples into her house with generous hospitality, preparing a meal and serving them. One can imagine that serving Jesus and his disciples was no small feat. And yet Martha's sister Mary doesn't lift a finger to help. Mary is too enthralled with Jesus' teaching, and she sits with the disciples at his feet to drink in his wisdom. In fact, Mary herself becomes a disciple. But Martha, frustrated that her sister has abandoned all the work to her, makes what seems to be a very reasonable request to Jesus. She requests that Mary should come and help with the serving. But instead of sending Mary to help, Jesus lectures Martha about being anxious and distracted. Now, this is a universal story. Every one of us can see ourselves in one of the characters. Are you a Martha, always worrying and fussing and busy? Or are you a Mary, thirsty for learning, but oblivious to practical matters? Most of us have probably played both roles at one time or another in our lives. What Jesus says to Martha, of course, is true. She is indeed anxious and distracted, with supper to get on the table and all the cleaning up afterward. But I'm sure there are more than a few of you out there thinking, is Jesus really being fair to Martha? Or is Jesus momentarily blinkered by a patriarchal culture that made sure that he, as a man, never stepped foot in a kitchen and was oblivious to the amount of work involved? Mary may indeed have chosen the better part, but without Martha's fussing, there wouldn't have been a dinner table for the disciples to gather around to listen to Jesus teach. The stuff that Martha is doing certainly needs to get done. Cooking the meals, cleaning up the kitchen, and so forth. But Martha doesn't get the help she wants from Mary, or the recognition she wants from Jesus. Instead, Jesus invites her to slow down and to go deeper. Busyness may be inevitable, but we can also use it as a distraction, as a way of avoiding dealing with a problem. All too often, we substitute busyness for real transformation. Maybe Martha just didn't want to sit down and listen to what Jesus was saying, because so often what Jesus had to say was challenging and difficult. Perhaps she thought it was better to bide one's time in the kitchen rather than to rethink your opinions about Samaritans or tax collectors. Whatever she really wanted, what Martha needed was just for that moment to stop, to sit, to listen. Sometimes whatever we are doing, even if we think it necessary, even if it is doing good, what God really needs us to do is simply hit pause. To stop doing so much. To stop trying so hard. To stop trying to fix everything. To stop trying to justify yourself by looking busy. To stop doing and to start listening. To sit down at Jesus' feet and to try to hear where God's Spirit is moving in your life and in the world around you. We are, after all, human beings, not human doings. Sometimes we just need to take time to be. The world we live in, of course, is full of problems. Problems which we all would like to be able to fix. But all too often in our anxiousness to solve problems, we don't really take the time to understand them. The problems we are facing today, after all, don't have easy fixes. How best to protect the environment? How to distribute resources fairly? How to protect ourselves while staying open and welcoming? All of these are issues that require careful, prayerful discernment. At least they do if we're going to respond out of a place of love rather than out of a place of fear. Jesus' call is to come more and more into the way of love. But finding love amid the fear and the busyness that surrounds us takes some work on our part. But it's a different kind of work. It's not the work measured in hours or how much is made or delivered. It's the type of work that involves emptying oneself of all fear, busyness, and distraction so that one can simply be in the presence of God and listen and learn and discern. All too often we're unable to hear God's still small voice because of all the noise that surrounds us, because of all the distractions that preoccupy ourselves. And so this day we are challenged to ask, where do you hear God's voice? Each of us might answer differently. And some of us, if we're honest, will respond, we don't hear God's voice, or we don't hear it very often. And when we do, it's a faint whisper. That's probably a sign that we need to stop, press pause, and just be. Whether that being takes place on a Sunday morning, in church, in a regular period of prayer and Bible reading, whether it takes place on a hike in the mountains or along the seashore or out walking the dog, we all need that time to pause, to be, to listen. There is, of course, another place where God can always be found. John Nesse, in his book, A Sacred Voice is Calling, writes that the most important place to hear God's voice is in the cry of the poor. Finding God among the poor is perhaps not as easy as in the beauty of nature or in the peace of worship, but finding God among the poor is certain. For we know that God is always alive in the struggle for justice. We know that God lives among the marginalized, that God fights for the poor, the rejected, that God upholds the weak. And so if you are having trouble hearing God's voice, go among the poor. Not to fix them, but merely to listen, to abide with one another, to build community. And if you keep your heart open, you will hear God's voice there. A fact that is often overlooked in the story of Mary and Martha is that they lived in Bethany. And Bethany means house of the afflicted. Bethany was a leper colony. A leper colony outside of the city walls. Bethany was a place for the homeless, the lonely, the destitute, the rejected, the poor. And it's significant that it is to Bethany where Jesus' closest friends live. That it is in Bethany where Jesus' chosen family is to be found. And that it is to Bethany that Jesus returns again and again. If you want to be Jesus' disciple, you will find him there still, in the Bethanies of this world. And it will be there that you can sit at his feet with Mary and learn how God's love can change the world. And it is there, if you are a Martha, distracted by busyness, preoccupied with doing what you think needs to be done, wanting to fix everything, it is in Bethany, at Jesus' feet, where you can pause and simply be, and be provided with the learning, the discernment, the inspiration that will enable you to go forward and resume the work of love to which we are all called. May it be so.